Hello and welcome once again to the Blue Toon Podcast, your unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. I'm Colin Byers and with me is Martin Smith, a man who last week picked a team in a football squares card at the last minute and won, and then had a friendly wager with someone at work over the Newcastle and Man United game and won that as well. So, Mr. Moneybags, no need to ask you how your weekend was then, eh?
It was very good, apart from the Peterhead result.
Oh, well, just for usual then, as we touch on that. Lots of money earned for yourself over the weekend. Happy days. Airdrie at home. Another disappointing result for us then.
Yeah, we predicted that we would hopefully win the game going into it, but going on the first 20 minutes, that certainly didn't look like it was going to happen. But I thought the second half of the first half, we looked much better. Probably disappointed overall in the game not to come out with at least a point, I would say.
Well, we predicted, both predicted 2-1.
Yeah.
So we were right in that aspect. However, we got the result in the wrong way. So, as we said, the first sort of 10, 15 minutes, we were kind of bricking it a little bit because it was all Airdrie, and we thought to ourselves, this could be 2 or 3. But after they scored, it seemed to kind of light a fire under the boys a wee bit, because after that they played some pretty good football.
I thought that once they took the lead, it actually benefited us in a weird way. It sort of, as you said, it kicked us into gear, and after that we looked really good with a couple of good chances in the first half. Scott Brown's hit the post, Aidan Smith's come close with a chance as well. On another day, they fall for you, the width of the post, it goes in, or Aidan's shot's not saved. I think we would have been better for it. Not to be, disappointing result. A game I felt, not a must-win game, but yeah, one that I would have liked to have really won, to be honest.
For long spells, I think we could agree that was probably the best that we've seen Peterhead play this season, probably since the Cup games. But they changed their tactics again slightly. He seemed to go for a 4-5-1 for a start, or a 4-4-2. He had Smith up front, which we've really been calling for the last couple of games, so it's good to see him getting a chance up top. Although he did kind of squander quite a good chance in the first half.
we've been pushing for Aidan Smith to get a start and going up top. I've always said that I would like the striker to be there, missing the chances rather than not getting the chances at all. I think once he gets one goal, he'll go on to get 2, 3, 4. On the day, it just didn't fall to him. Another day, it goes in and we get something out of it.
Everybody seemed to play quite well. Nobody really had a bad game as such. Is that just because we're at a stage now where we're not fighting for our lives already, but the points need to be kind of coming in now before games run out? Or is it something else?
I think on the back of promotion last year, we're riding that wave going into the new season, and I think also the first home game, we've gotten a point, and you're maybe thinking, this season might not be too bad. But I think now that a reality sort of set in, you're losing away to Montrose, I think that was not only a shock for us, but a shock maybe for the players as well, and they've realised they need to pull up their socks and just fight it out a bit more. If you're passive in the game, you can soon be 2 or 3 goals down. I think the result Montrose last week sort of maybe just kicked us on, because as you said, I think this has been our best performance, albeit we haven't gotten anything from the game, but I think there's certainly positives to take out of the defeat.
And as I said, we missed a lot of chances again. As I said, we'd rather be there and missing the chances than scoring. What's it going to take then for us to get the goals, and what's going to happen if we start scoring the goals?
I think we're just waiting for that lucky break, or the lucky bounce just a minute ago, that if Scott Brown hits a post and goes in, it's a different game. Or you just get a ricochet or a refereeing decision goes your way. I think once we take the lead in a game and we've got something to build on, you set the foundation, I think we'll go to go on and do well from there. It's just getting into the lead that's proven the difficult part at the moment.
The positive thing was we went a goal down, but then obviously played much better than we had previously. It's a completely different, well, not completely different, defence. It was a defence that hasn't played at all, I don't think, that is a back four. Ferguson at right back, and then Brown, Hooper, and Boyle playing as usual at left back. So it was a younger kind of defence, which was nice to see, good to see, because you want to see these kind of players establish themselves and then possibly play on for the next 2-3 years. So these are the guys you want to see playing. So, but these guys can also play in a variety of positions as well, because you've seen last week he played a back three. He played a back three again at points in the second half as well. So variety and versatility is obviously key for the players that Jim wants to be signing just now.
Yeah, we're not blessed with the biggest squad in the division. So I think the fact that he's got players that can play a number of different positions is an advantage. Not only throughout the season, but in the game itself, you can easily switch from a 4-2-3-1, a 4-4-2, or go with a back three. Ferguson, since he's come in, he looks really comfortable playing anywhere across the back. So that's an advantage to us that he can play there.
Much like Jason Brown can play in a couple of positions as well. So, yeah, variety's there as well. You mentioned the referee. Just a couple of weeks ago, or last week I think it was praising how good the referee was in that game. This guy, Gavin Ross, first time we've seen him this season, but he had a shocker, I think. He was pretty poor, wasn't he?
Hopefully it's the last time we'll see him up at Balmour as well. Yeah, he did not have a good game, to say the least. I think we did get somewhat fortunate with the challenge. Well, I say challenge from Hooper. It was something you've maybe seen in a wrestling ring. He's certainly come across and just totally wiped him out. How the referee can't give a penalty for that, I don't know. Thankfully for us, he didn't give that as a penalty, but I can certainly see why Airdrie were appealing for it quite loudly. Having said that, the penalty that he did give, I thought was really soft, and Jim said it afterwards as well, and some of the players, that they felt it was soft. I just wonder whether the referee's realised he's made a mistake with the first challenge, that he's not awarded a penalty, and that's played in his mind when the Airdrie man's gone down, and because he was very quick to give the decision to Airdrie. He hasn't consulted with his linesman or anything that we could visibly see. So I just wonder if that was in the back of his head when he's decided.
Now we both said at the game that the first one was more of a penalty than the one that he actually gave.
Yeah.
I just think I know it's we're League One, so obviously the standards of players aren't going to be as good as what they are higher up. But you'd expect the refereeing to be of a standard, which you could see the first one was definitely a penalty. Everybody around about us thought it was a penalty. Second one, we're kind of scratching where he's going. What's he giving that for? And then he has the incident in the second half. So if you're still scratching my head over that, he's given a corner. There's a bit of a fracas between Jason Brown and the Airdrie goalkeeper.
Yeah.
The linesman then comes across. He has his two pennies worth in. And then he then goes and proceeds and books both the goalkeeper and Jason Brown. And then all of a sudden he's given a goal kick or a free kick to Airdrie. And everybody's like, well, hold on a minute, what's happened there? Explain to me what he's done there, because I've got no clue.
I would love to, but I generally have no idea either. I think he's first spoken to Jason Brown and the goalkeeper before the ball is in play. And he sort of tell the two of them, cut it out, whatever it is. Then the ball has come in and he's decided to give... He's given a corner. He's clearly pointing to a corner.
Gary Fraser standing ready to take it.
Yeah, he's noticed that there's been a bit of a fracas. The linesman, as you said, he's put in his tuppence worth. And then I genuinely think he's forgotten what he's done and he's just decided, as a cop-out, he would give the goal kick.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, I think that's what's happened. The referee's lost his mind a little bit in what he's doing. He's realised that he's going to have a word with Jason Brown, the goalkeeper, and he's totally forgotten it's a corner that he's already awarded before he's talking to both the players, and he's still giving the goal kick.
He doesn't even need to forget, because everybody's standing in position ready to go. Gary Fraser standing in the corner, ready to take it. Everybody's in position, ready for the corner to be taken. All he needs to do is get himself into position, blow the whistle, and we're away again. But to book both players and then give what we think is a goal kick or a free kick to Airdrie is just nonsense. Jim himself said after the game that he'd asked the referee why he changed his mind, and he couldn't give him an answer.
Yeah.
Which kind of says it all, really.
Sort of sums it up.
Ah, it sums up. I wouldn't say it sums up the state of Scottish football, Scottish refereeing, but he was particularly poor. We've seen some poor refereeing, but he was must be someone with the name Ross as a name in refereeing terms. With, well, maybe when I go there, that's maybe a bit controversial. Oh, we'll be getting done for that. So that's us. We've played each team once at least now. So we've played 9 games. We're sitting 8th in the league. Just the two wins.
Yeah.
Our assessment, our own personal assessment was that we could get playoff position. Is that still a realistic target, or are we, like most of the players, are coming out in the press and the manager are saying it's all about consolidation?
I think first and foremost it is consolidating in the division. We maybe were slightly ambitious at the start of the season, thinking about playoff chances. Football has got very small margins. Had we taken something from the game on Saturday, and you look back to the game against Dumbarton, if we'd held on, you know, in the lead in that game, small margins can propel you up the table. Consolidate first, and then we'll look to build on. But I would say we're home form particularly is not a worry, but it is a little bit of a concern for me with only the one home win. That is a bit of a concern for me.
Yeah, I mean, we've mentioned that a few times over the last few weeks. The home games are where you want to pick up the majority of your points. But out of the teams that we've played, we've seen, I think it would be a fair thing to say, we shouldn't really fear anybody other than maybe Falkirk and Raith Rovers. I think they're, to pardon the pun, but they're a league on their own, really. Or they will be, I think. East Fife's obviously try to keep up with them. But other than Falkirk and Raith Rovers, I don't think we should be fearing anybody. I think we could be taking points off of most of them.
Yeah, oh yeah, I completely agree. I don't think we've been outclassed in any game other than the Raith game from the loss 4-0. That was a bit of a sore one to take. But any other game, I think we've been in it right till the end. And the vast majority, you can see with the scores, there's not more than, other than the Raith game, there's not been a big deficit. So yeah, I think going forward, if we can take our chances, we've just spoken about that slightly earlier, if they fault the right people, and we can get our noses in front, I think we can do well. But like Jim and the players have said, consolidating the league, and then, you know, you go into the January market and you reassess there and maybe get an addition or two.
We're still waiting for Rory to get his first goal, so maybe it's one of those things where if he can get one, I think you said last week, if it comes off his backside and goes in, we'll take it. It's one of those things, if he gets one then, like a boss, they'll maybe get two or three.
Yeah, he might kick on and get a few more.
But after the international break, a couple of tough away games. Falkirk on the 19th of October away, and then the following week we've got Dumbarton away. So we lost obviously at home to Dumbarton after being two up. We've got a credible point at home to Falkirk, so are we expecting much out of those two?
Falkirk will be a very tricky game. Always optimistic that we can get something from the game, but I think, like I said, if we get our nose in front, it gives you something to hang on to, and you just never know. But I think that one, I'd be surprised if we got anything from it. But certainly the Dumbarton game is something that we really should be looking to go and certainly try and get 3 points in. Don't see any reason why we can't.
You never know against Falkirk, because they seem to be, although we're still expecting to get promoted in one shape or form or the other, they're a bit inconsistent, and we might actually get them at the right time after an international break. Maybe catch them cold.
I think they signed quite a lot of players in the summer. On the first game, I didn't think there was much difference between the two teams. So again, as you say, maybe coming back after an international break might not be a bad thing. However, on the flip side, I'm sure they'll be training a lot more than what we will be over the international break.
What we need to kind of be realistic about and realise is a lot of these teams are full-time. Airdrie, obviously, are full-time. Falkirk, Raith and all them, they're all full-time. Pierre, obviously, just part-time training once or twice a week. So we've got to be... It kind of puts things into perspective.
Yeah.
So really... We can compete against these teams. We can't compete against them financially, etc. So we have to be realistic.
I think it's credit to the players as well and the manager that there's not any game other than the Raith game that we've been totally outdone by in scoreline. I think it's been pretty even. You know, a decision here and there or a chance miss makes a big difference. So I don't think we've been outclassed in at any point.
And after that two games, there's a home game against the Raith Rovers, which I think, even though we lost 4-0 there, I think it's still one of those games that we could get something out of. I suspect they're going to take a big following up the road for that game as well.
Yeah.
And then we've got a game against Clyde away, and then home to Montrose. So again, those three games after the back-to-back away, you're wanting to get as many points. I know it sounds obvious to say, but the two games at home to Raith Rovers and Montrose are games that you could really be winning. Montrose obviously more than the Raith Rovers one.
Yeah, I think a little bit again a revenge against Montrose wouldn't go amiss either, considering their cracking goals that they had against us. I think we've got to be, especially with home format, I think that has to improve if we're going to survive in the division. Montrose, a month's not a long time in football, things can change, but I think we need to turn our home form round if we're going to do well.
So the quarterly report, we think we're doing okay.
But room for improvement.
Could do better,
yeah.
As it said in my report card at school quite a lot. I think if we can, we're obviously going to be tighter in defence than we have been, which is good. Just getting scoring goals. And I think that'll help.
I think once Jack Leach comes back, I think once Aidan Smith gets out a goal and Rory McAllister, I think we could be a different animal going forward. I really do.
I think so. So last week we mentioned Jim McAnally's anniversary. He celebrated 8 years just yesterday. So congratulations to him. Obviously 8 years in a football management job is quite an achievement in this day and age. So we're going to go through his time at Peterhead as briefly as we possibly can. So obviously he took over on the 7th of October 2011 from John Sherrin, who'd got in the sack unfortunately, and Peterhead were sitting bottom of the table at the time, having just been relegated down to the old Division 3, as it was then. And since then, he's had two league titles in League 2, an unfortunate relegation. But he's done a brilliant job, I think, sustaining or making Peterhead a prospect for people to come up to be there for 8 years. He's obviously loves the club, he loves the people around at the club, and obviously the people in the community, in and around the town as well. So you wouldn't be sticking around if he didn't have, wasn't enjoying the job, really.
No, firstly, congratulations to Jim on 8 years. He's obviously got a passion for the club. He mentioned in an interview just the other day that obviously, with Cove coming into the league, it was going to be proving more of a challenge to get players to come to Peterhead. But I think the fact that he's able to sell the club so well to a player who could or maybe go to Cove, they could go to Montrose, you know, places that are maybe slightly closer to them, but he's able to sell them the vision that he's got, not only for Peterhead, but them as a player as well. And, you know, they can develop at Peterhead and then go on to other things. I think that's testament to him. And also the club for backing Jim for pushing them deals through.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, a couple of years ago, he said he was going to hand in his resignation because he failed to get promotion. But the board backed him to the hill, and they were rewarded with the promotion the following season. But his ratio, his win ratio is at 47%, and that, no matter how long you've been in management, that's a pretty decent win percent record. That's almost winning half your games, which is a big deal down in those kind of leagues and those kind of games. So 8 years he's been there. Obviously, we wanting to stay as long as possible. How far do you think he can take the club? Is there a glass ceiling that he might need to break, or is he kind of happy to be in and around League One?
I think at the moment League One, dare I say, is probably our level, maybe fluctuating between League Two and League One. I think you're going up against full-time teams in League One. I think that makes a big difference. We've seen that in some of the games, some of the periods within a game, you can certainly tell which teams are full-time and which teams aren't. I think League One is probably where Jim would be quite happy with. Mm-hmm. I would hazard a guess at.
It's a million-dollar question, but is there any job that you think he would leave Peterhead for at this present moment in time?
Personally, I don't think so. I think he's got the backing of the club. I don't see any reason why you'd want to leave. You said there yourself that you put in his resignation and the board didn't accept it. So they obviously still back Jim and are quite happy with the job he's doing. We got promoted last year. I'm certainly happy with the job that he's doing. So I see no reason why he'd leave.
It's kind of the scenario. He's been there that long. It almost becomes his club. It makes it more difficult for him to leave. So even if somebody does approach him, I kind of think, unless it's a phenomenal offer, of course, I kind of see him leaving anytime soon, which is obviously good for us. But a guy who was inducted into the 2015 Dundee United Hall of Fame in his 10 caps for Scotland, it's quite a coup to have somebody like that as a Peterhead manager, because up in this neck of the woods, you wouldn't say Peterhead is a big name in Scottish football.
No, I'm sure there's a lot more teams that would have that pool, whether it be whether the size of the club or financial structure that they've got. So to have Jim here, the longest serving manager in Scotland as well, I'm delighted that he's with us.
Highlights, obviously. I mean, there's two there. I think everybody would be looking for more highlights, but the two league titles, the highlights for you?
Yeah, oh yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah, no arguments there.
Yep. So hopefully we maybe have another 8 more years of Jim at the helm. But again, congratulations, Jim, on your 8 years. It's thoroughly deserved, and hopefully we continue to have you for a long time coming. And perhaps, and maybe getting ahead of myself, another promotion. Fingers crossed, you never know. Maybe not this season, maybe next season, you never know.
You never know.
You never know, that's it. Okay, right, that's us done again for another week. We'll be back next week, international break, so we'll maybe have one or two different things to talk about next week. But we'll obviously be previewing the next game against Falkirk, so a lot to discuss next week. So thanks again for listening, and you'll be seeing us next week. Cheers. Bye.